Welcome back to Cindy's Soapbox here on Green 960. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. Our soapbox today is going to look at a devastating issue here in San Francisco that really has global implications. When I first moved to San Francisco to run for Congress, by necessity, I had to narrow my global work for peace and justice down to a very small geographic area. But it didn't take long for me to discover that San Francisco is a microcosm of the world and that everything is connected. It usually connects right back to the U.S. quest for empire. Today's guests will talk about local and international issues with me. When we come back from the break, we will be chatting with Minister Christopher Mohammed. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Are you as disgusted with the multinational corporations that rape and pillage for profit all over the planet as Cindy's Soapbox is? Are you as concerned with being a responsible planetary citizen as we are? Do you long for the fresh breeze of unvarnished truth instead of the stagnant putridness of lies and pragmatism that we hear on the air? Do you ever wonder what to do with the extra $4 a month that you have burning a hole in your pocket? If you answered yes to one or more of these questions, then please go to CindySheehanSoapbox.com and pledge just $4 a month to keep our show on the air. $4, you may say to yourself. Yes, $4. Why, that's less than the cost of 2 gallons of gas or a transbay ride on BART. For $4 a month, you can own a piece of the Soapbox and get listed on our website as a monthly sustainer and help us stay on the air to keep speaking truth to power.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Cindy Sheehan on Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. As I promised you before the break, we're going to be speaking with Minister Christopher Mohammed from the Nation of Islam and a Bay View activist. He has been working just so hard for the people of Bay View. And when I first came to San Francisco, I moved here to run for Congress. One of the first things we did was an event out in Bay View. And I really connected with the issue because I have traveled the world. I have seen the toxicity of the U.S. military complex all over the world. I worked with Malik Rahim in New Orleans and his group Common Ground about the gentrification there. And I come to San Francisco and I get square in the middle of just a major gentrification project in Bayview near the Hunters Point Naval Shipyard. And right from the beginning of my campaign, people who were working with me said, Cindy, we care about that issue, but it's not, believe me, it's not a San Francisco issue. It's not an issue that the people of San Francisco are going to care about. And I couldn't believe it because our brothers and sisters just minutes away are suffering from the poisoning of the shipyard. They're suffering of being sold out by the city of San Francisco. And so that's why we wanted to have you on one of our first shows to really talk about this issue, because it's an important issue. We care about the people in Gaza. We care about the people in Iraq and Afghanistan. We should care about the people in our backyard. So welcome to the show, Minister.
Thank you for having me. It's a great honor to be with you once again.
Can you give our listeners, this is an important issue that would take way more than 40 minutes to talk about, but can you give our listeners an overview of the history of the shipyard, about the Lennar Corporation, and what it's doing to the community there in Bayview?
Well, and it is a very, very big issue because it's happening right here in a city that prides itself on being cutting edge in terms of environment, in terms of liberal ideals. Yet right in this city, there's a dirty little secret that they've tried to suppress. And I'm thankful that your campaign, your bold and courageous run for Congress, highlighted a lot of the contradictions that have come from the political leadership in this city that is national and international in scope when you start talking about those political forces that have worked to keep this issue of the poisoning of the poor community of Bayview Hunters Point.
But one thing I want to point out, too, is that it's also very, almost like parochial to think that that poisoning doesn't spread across the city, that it stops at the, it stops on 3rd Street
that's
or something,
exactly,
and
right.
and the poisoning stops and nobody else is affected except for the people of Bayview Hunters
Well,
Park.
Right here in San Francisco, you have one of the dirtiest, most toxic waste sites to be found anywhere in the world.
Right, super fun.
It's a super fun site, but on a level that's a lot greater than most Superfund sites, because it was here at Bayview Hunters Point that depleted uranium, which you find in affecting the soldiers in Iraq.
Right.
This was first developed here at Bayview Hunters Point Naval Shipyard.
Right.
It was here at Bayview Hunters Point Naval Shipyard in San Francisco that the bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were assembled right here in San Francisco and shipped to the South Pacific.
Right.
It was here at this shipyard that you had the largest radiological testing laboratory in the world, where human beings in Tuskegee-like experiments were literally exposed to radiation with the government's knowledge to test the effects of radiological exposures on poor, primarily African-American men and women who were exposed to radiological elements unbeknownst to them, but the government knew about it.
Right.
This is where they would send the ships and submarines to the South Pacific and bomb the poor people in the Marshall Islands and the Solomon Islands and the other places,
Bikini
Islands, and these people would be tested for radiation exposure. They would then sink ships in these atolls and ignite bombs, then see what the fallout effect on these ships would be, then bring these ships back and dry dock them
right.
at Hunters Point, and then not let the workers know, but give them instructions to clean these ships, not telling them that they were being exposed to horrific levels of radiation. Many of these poor people, primarily African American, have since died of cancer. In fact, in the community of Bayview Hunters Point, you have the largest cancer, the largest rate of asthma anywhere in the country, right here, not in Alabama,
right.
not in Mississippi, not in rural Texas, but right here in cosmopolitan, cutting edge San Francisco, California. Many of these poor people, just for your audience's information, were brought, recruited, interestingly enough,
mm-hmm.
by the government and the city to come to San Francisco from Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Mississippi to find for employment and housing.
There
so they literally recruited African Americans in one of the largest migrations
right.
to work in the war industry during World War II. So it's ironic that today San Francisco is on the fast track to depopulate the city of black and poor people at an alarming rate. In fact, it's the only major city of its kind in the country where you run the risk of losing an entire black and poor population. It's being depopulated just that fast.
Well, that's one of Bayview Hunters Point is the last bastion of African-American population. The other parts have been gentrified, and we all know how expensive it is to live in San Francisco.
Right.
But I think that one of the things that makes the city exciting is the diversity.
That's
and,
right.
you know, we need to, the progressive movement needs to really work to retain that diversity. But the Naval Shipyard was closed. When did the U.S. government close the
Hunters Point? They closed the shipyard formally in the early 1970s. And so the shipyard laid dormant all those years, and we didn't discover until not long after that the shipyard, literally all of those toxins, all of those radiological elements, all of those volatile and semi-volatile organic compounds were buried right there in the land at the shipyard.
Well, and you have compiled thousands of pages from EPA, from you know, the Planning Commission, any kind of rule or regulation about this, you have compiled that information, and you have literally become an expert on this. Tell my listeners some of the poisons that are out there.
Well,
it's mind-blowing.
I mean, you're talking about anything that you can think of that literally the compounds are so toxic out there that the U.S. Navy has said they don't even fully know the composition of those toxins, because now those toxins that were buried have merged
to form new toxins.
And so now you're talking about radiological elements. You're talking about arsenic, lead, antimony, chromium, magnesium, on and on and on, besides depleted uranium and other things. In fact, we don't even fully know all of the things that were buried there, because a lot of that was secret experiments done by the government in which they just dumped it right there in the bay and put this landfill on top of it and left it dormant. But now the community who lives next door and borders that shipyard has been exposed to all of these elements all of these years, and people have suffered and died from unknown causes that the government has never, ever really opened up the files to expose the full ramifications of that kind of exposure and how it has impacted that poor community. When you talk about environmental injustice, you're talking about this kind of action that took place in San Francisco being on the level of what happened at Love Canal, Three Mile Island, of certainly Katrina,
not as publicized as those disasters,
because of the heavy weight of politics and the deadly brew and mix of politics and big money developers coming together to literally suppress this. But it's coming out now, and thanks to shows like yours and campaigns like yours, this is becoming an issue that's coming to the light. And more that people learn about this issue, the more they recognize that this is an issue that we need to come together and fight. Last point on that, Hunter's Point has become the only community left in this city where poor people can live.
Right.
Poor white, poor Latino, poor Asian, poor Pacific Islanders. So it becomes this enclave of poor people that are being pushed into Bayview Hunter's Point. And now that they're wanting to develop this area, now these poor people are being pushed either into homelessness or way out into the suburbs, which is all part of an urban design that's happening in every major urban center in this country. The poor, people of color, people that are oppressed are being pushed out of the urban centers.
This is Cindy Sheehan, and you're listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox on Green 960, and we're talking to Minister Christopher Muhammad, a Bayview activist. And so the Navy closes a shipyard, and the land is given to the city of San Francisco?
That's correct.
And then what did the city of San Francisco do?
Well, what happened, and it's kind of extensive, so I'll try to condense it, but it's a big subject, as you said. The Navy recognized its historic injustice and determined that they were going to clean the shipyard. The residents of San Francisco insisted that the whole shipyard be cleaned up to residential standards before anything was developed on that toxic site.
That was a referendum put before the people of San Francisco.
That's correct. And they passed, it was called Proposition P, where the San Francisco residents made that bold statement.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was...
Well, we've made a lot of bold statements our politicians don't listen to, like impeaching George Bush.
That's correct.
Not funding the war in Iraq.
That's correct. And they find creative ways to get around the will of the people.
Right.
Well, that happened out there. So what the wise political minds that were involved with this deal, some of them personally involved, decided that they would carve the shipyard up into parcels and then turn over the parcels based on the level of cleanliness of each of those parcels. All of it's toxic.
Right.
But what they said was, we'll turn over the cleanest of the toxic parcels. Mm-hmm. So they turned over a parcel called Parcel A. That was turned over from the Navy to the city with pressure coming from the Feinsteins, the Pelosis, and others. Mm-hmm. And so the Navy turned this parcel.
Well, they're all involved in redevelopment and real estate,
that's
too.
Correct. Right? That's correct. That's correct. And Senator Feinstein and Congresswoman Pelosi are both intimately involved in pushing this project forward. People that are tied to them are intimately involved in this project. And so when the 49ers, well, let me not go that far ahead. Let's start with the fact that this parcel was turned over.
Parcel A. Which is the closest to the residence.
Which was given to the city for a dollar.
A dollar?
$1 for 70-some acres of land. And then they, in turn, turned it over to the redevelopment agency, which turned it over to the Lennar Corporation, one of the dirtiest companies anywhere to be found in North America.
Can you tell me, can you tell my listeners, because I know this, the name of the person from Lennar that was in charge of naval, naval acquisitions or military base acquisitions?
Well, I know that Nancy Pelosi's nephew was part of the Lennar Corporation's operation there.
Right. And Lawrence Pelosi.
Yeah, Lawrence Pelosi. And so you have, but he's not alone. You've got this wide, vast network of the Nob Hill wine and cheese crowd.
And Lawrence Pelosi also, was he the treasurer of Gavin Newsom's mayoral campaign?
Correct. That's
so,
correct.
Yeah, it is kind of an incestuous,
this murky,
profitable
of, that's
relationship.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And what we're finding is these big money developers are literally driving public policy, whether it be in Iraq, whether it be in Afghanistan, whether it be anywhere where you have lesser developed countries and you've got greedy corporate interests that mm-hmm. want to usurp either the land or the natural resources, you find public policy geared to facilitate these greedy corporations getting access to the raw strategic minerals of poor countries and less developed countries. Well, that same foreign policy comes out of the same minds as those who design domestic policy. Mm-hmm. So you've got this relationship between big money corporations and political people who run for office and get donations and contributions from these developers. And the aim is to make it easier for them to get access to poor urban communities where the land is cheap. If you can get somebody else to do the dirty work, then these developers go in, scoop up wide acres of land for little to nothing, remove the people, develop condos and townhomes, and now you've got ethnic cleansing and gentrification right. going on in cities like San Francisco.
Well, in Bayview Hunters Point area, really, it's not only one of the last developable urban areas in San Francisco, it is the last in the country.
That's
it's
right.
one of the last that is open for development.
That's exactly
and the
right.
development they want to put there is not low-income housing.
No.
It's shops and marinas and a new football stadium and just nothing that it may create jobs in the short term, but it does not create a lasting economy for the community that exists there.
Well, it's designed to, again, repopulate these traditionally poor people of color living communities into these young urban professional communities where you now have a downtown experience where there was once flight to the suburbs.
Right.
Now people are being encouraged to come back into the cities.
Well, we don't want to live out in the suburbs because gas is expensive.
That's exactly right.
And, you know,
that's
traffic.
Exactly right.
We don't want to have to drive couple hours to our jobs and then, you know, fill up our tanks with, you know, used to be $4 gas.
That's
now
right.
It's a little bit lower.
Well, it shows you how they can play with it when things get a little shaky for them. They can manipulate prices of food and gas on a whim.
Right.
But what we're finding is that as people are being drawn back into the urban centers, the question becomes, how do you deal with the existing population? And so that becomes now the mind of those in political leadership who are doing the bidding of those in the business community. And that's where you get gang injunctions.
Absolutely.
That's where you get gang sweeps. That's where you get the encouraging of guns coming into the community. And America, of course, is the largest gun-running nation. We would be foolish to think they're not running guns in the urban centers of America, where 15-year-olds now are being given military-issue weaponry,
right.
But nobody can ever figure out who brings it in. But all of it's designed to produce the kind of violent climate in the ghetto or in the barrio so that you justify a heavy-handed law enforcement approach, which then produces what we call ethnic cleansing.
Which has happened during the Newsom administration,
oh,
the gang injunctions.
The gang injunctions started, they were piloted right across the street from the Hunters Point shipyard. That was the first gang injunction. And so you make the connection as to why the gang injunction was piloted right next to this Lennar shipyard development.
Right. We're talking to Minister Christopher Mohammed. We're going to take a short break, and we hope you stay tuned for this very fascinating conversation. When we come back, we'll talk about Parcel A and the development of that and the footprint for the stadium that they want. We'll be right back on Green 960.
The following soapbox was submitted to us by Cynthia Markopoulos and Frank Scafani. Why is it that hardworking Americans are losing their homes to foreclosures? Why are the auto workers forced to take a pay cut to keep their jobs? Yet our Congress, which has a lower approval rating than the worst president in American history, will receive an automatic pay raise in these dire times. They will be giving themselves a $4,700 pay raise to bring their salaries to $174,000 plus health care and other benefits. Most Americans have to bargain in good faith for their pay raises, while 47 million Americans do not have health insurance and 30 million Americans are underinsured. We, the employers, are forced to give our hard-earned money to the worst Congress in memory. Let's just review their record. This Congress has violated its oath to uphold the Constitution by giving the responsibility of declaring war to an alcoholic, drug-abusing, wartime deserter. They have knowingly violated the Geneva Convention by allowing torture. They have allowed spying on U.S. citizens by violating our Fourth Amendment rights. They have given a $1 trillion bailout to the crooks on Wall Street without any oversight. They continue to fund an illegal war and occupation. They continue to ignore their constituents' demands to repeal the Patriot Act and our demands for no bailout by saying they know better. In any industry with this type of record, they would have been fired. How dare they?
Welcome back to our show. We're talking to Minister Christopher Mohammed, a Bayview Hunters Point activist. We're talking about the situation out in that community, about gentrification, about the toxicity of the environment. And we will get into, towards the end, what we can do as concerned citizens in our community to work with the people of Bayview Hunters Point for a fair and healthy solution to this problem. It's a big problem, but we're not going to solve it if we don't realize that it's a citywide problem, not just confined to that district. So Lennar Corporation bought Parcel A for $1, and they started to develop it. They started to grade it for development. What happened when that?
And this is where the main problem for the community begins in earnest.
And I want to say, you used to support the development until Lennar started throwing these toxins out to affect your school.
See, most African Americans, particularly those of us in leadership, have not paid sufficient attention to the whole issue of environmental justice. Because
you're fighting for your lives.
You're fighting
your
and you're doing whatever right. you're doing. And so the issue
survive.
Of environment has never been on the radar of the majority of those in the African American community.
Right.
And I, admitting my
that
own.
That seems kind of like a Green Party-ish.
Yeah,
you
and
know,
it's not something that we paid attention to, and I was one of them.
Right.
And so when the Lennar Corporation was coming through the Bayview Hunters Point community soliciting support from people in leadership, et cetera, they came to me and told me all that they were desirous of doing. They made a lot of promises to the community. They were going to provide economic development for the people. They said that they were going to build rental housing because
right.
people there can't afford housing.
Right.
They said that they were going to set up a legacy fund for all of the injustices that were done to this community. They were going to develop an African marketplace for the people of the community. I mean, they made all these promises. So when I heard the promises, it sounded good to me. So I supported, along with others, the idea of the development of the shipyard. My concern was always its cleanup. But it didn't resonate with me the full scope of what that meant. So as part of my own atonement, I have to admit I was not engaged in the whole issue of environmental justice.
Right.
So what happens is we have a school right adjacent to the shipyard, literally across a chain link fence mm-hmm. from the shipyard.
Right.
And there's a housing project right across the street from that.
Right.
One day in 2006, the people who run the day-to-day operation of our school called me and said, there's a lot of dust out here from the work that's going on in the shipyard. And the children are coughing and breathing this stuff, what should we do? So not knowing what that meant, I just said, well, bring the children inside, and when the dust subsides, you know, they can go back out and play on their recess or whatever. Well, what we found out later on was that that dust was actually naturally occurring asbestos that was coming from the rock called serpentinite rock, which
right.
is the natural rock out there. And as long as you leave it undisturbed, you don't have a problem. But the minute you start chiseling and grading that dirt, it unleashes this asbestos into the atmosphere.
And everybody knew that the serpentine rock was there. They were supposed to have detectors,
dust,
right?
Monitors, and then, air monitors, asbestos monitors. And as per regulation, they were supposed to have a dust mitigation plan.
Which is to spread water along.
That's correct.
After
and
the graders,
ensure
right?
that the community is not exposed to potentially harmful toxins.
And how long did they grade without the detectors?
Lennar Corporation started working out there after telling the community they were going to look out for its health and do all of the proper protocols and procedures of dust mitigation. From day one, the Lennar Corporation did not follow that protocol, did not follow that plan, and started heavy grading in April 2006 and purposely, and I'm going to repeat this, purposely turned those monitors off and with intent poisoned that community because they wanted to fast track this project and they didn't want the threat of shutdowns when the asbestos levels reached a
right.
certain limit.
Right.
So rather than have to worry about shutdowns from asbestos exposure, they purposely turned the monitors off. And the city and county of San Francisco, the health department, knew this happened and did not do anything to stop Lennar from working. And when we found out about it, not from the health department, not from redevelopment, and certainly not from Lennar,
right.
we learned about this from a whistleblower who
right.
worked on the site,
right.
who was subsequently fired.
Right.
And he came and knocked on our door and told us that the children that were being exposed to horrific levels of asbestos. And it was at that point that we began to organize to ask the city, reasonable request. We said, would you please stop work temporarily until we can assess the damage that was done to the community from the negligence and the intentional poisoning of this company on the residents of that area. And the city and its political apparatus, from Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, Gavin Newsom, to the redevelopment agency, to the health department, to the board of supervisors, who are all vested in this development, all turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to the cries of that community.
Well, we know that, like we said, this issue hasn't gotten much coverage in the press in San Francisco or nationally. The one paper besides the Bayview paper that has done good things is the San Francisco Bay Guardian.
The Bay Guardian
and I
has
want,
carried this.
My listeners to especially read an article by Sarah Phelan called The Corporation That Ate San Francisco. It's super informative. They found documents from Lennar admitting that the reason they didn't have the asbestos detectors or the dust mitigation efforts was it would cost them $50,000 a day.
That's right.
If they shut it down. They don't care about the community. They don't care about the babies in that community. It was definitely a for-profit thing. So that's parcel A. But the San Francisco 49ers want to leave San Francisco. They want to, I believe, have their games in Santa Clara.
That's
correct. Is that correct? But, of course, Gavin Newsom wants to be governor, and he doesn't want to be the mayor that lost a Major League Football team. And so their bright idea is to put a new stadium for the 49ers in the shipyard. And I just want to say that anybody listening to the show can go to what where we're talking about and observe all of these things. You can go to the church where the activists have their meetings. They will take you on a tour of what
we
is happening
there. Call it a toxic tour.
Yeah, I mean, I was in New Orleans just like 10 days after the hurricane in 2005, and I'm not exaggerating. I could not breathe down in New Orleans. I got some kind of a sore on my leg that wouldn't heal. But when I went on that toxic tour with you that one time, and I was going out of town the next day, I could not get the taste of the toxicity out of
that's
my mouth
right.
for like 2 weeks that's after right. that tour. So it's something that's really real. I don't want anybody to go down there and be contaminated, but I think that you need to know what's happening in your own community. So the one time that since I've been here, and by the way, you're listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox on Green 960. We're talking to Minister Christopher Mohammed about Bayview Hunters Point. But the one time that I saw anything mentioned in the Chronicle about the whole thing is when Pelosi and Feinstein and Newsom went down to the shipyard because they had just like finagled 83 million, which is like chump change. Because the Navy, is it parcel E where the footprint's going to go?
Parcel G.
Okay. The Navy estimates something like $800 billion to clean up that parcel, but they got $83 million. So they went down there and made a big display about how much they care about the community, and all it's for is to not even clean up where the football stadium's going to go. So tell our listeners about that.
Yeah. Well, what happens is the 49ers decided they didn't want to continue to play their games in the Candlestick Park Stadium, and they had their design on a place near their headquarters in Santa Clara, which
right.
is where their corporate offices are. And so because Dianne Feinstein and Nancy Pelosi and Gavin Newsom decided that they were going to try to force the 49ers to stay in Hunters Point with a promise of building them a new stadium on this toxic dump site, And because the 49ers wanted a new stadium by the year 2012, Pelosi and Feinstein squeezed $83 million out of George Bush to clean up not the shipyard, but to clean up Parcel G.
Right.
Because that's the footprint where the new stadium is supposed to go. It shows you the madness of the political leadership here. Didn't care. In fact, even the Chronicle said this is not about the people of Bayview Hunters Point. This is about a football stadium. So you've got political leaders that care more about a football stadium that will play at the most 12 games a year than you have for thousands of people that live in that community that have been exposed to horrific levels of toxicity for 70 years, yet our leaders didn't do anything until they learned that the 49ers were planning to leave. Now, here's the kicker to all of this. The footprint of 49ers Stadium in Parcel G is adjacent to a parcel called Parcel E and E2, which is so toxic.
I think that's the parcel that actually made me sick.
That's correct, because that's the parcel that is, of all of those parcels, the most toxic. In fact, it's so toxic that the Navy is saying, we don't even want to clean this area up. We'll just cap it.
Right.
So what they're talking about now is just putting some concrete slab over the shipyard.
And how many feet?
God knows what, but here's the point. They are literally putting a concrete slab over landfill. Landfill has the tendency to liquefy whenever there's an earthquake.
We saw that happen in the last earthquake.
You saw that happen in the Marina District, which is built on landfill. The Financial District is built on landfill. Mission Bay is built on landfill. And the shipyard. So the question is, not only why would you build a stadium on top of landfill, because their argument is, well, we've proven we can build on landfill. But you're building on landfill with the most toxic soil to be found anywhere, which means as this land liquefies, you literally now have a toxic soup upon which the stadium, upon which these homes, upon which these jogging trails and bike paths and green parks are literally going to be built on top of.
Right.
It is so toxic out there that the Navy has part of its agreement. Any home that is built on this land, the homeowner has to agree never to grow any vegetables or fruit in their backyard. You know, when you have a little garden, you can't do it in your backyard there because of this ooze that will come up out of the ground. And the U.S. Geological Survey has already said between now and 30 years from now, we're guaranteed to have the big one.
Exactly.
So it's not a question of if.
It's when.
It's just a question of when. But now these people trying to fast track to meet this artificial deadline of a 49er stadium by 2012 aren't even talking about cleaning up the shipyard. Let's fast track it, slap some concrete, build a stadium. Now the 49ers are not dumb. They know what that represents, so they don't want to build their stadium there. Well, nobody with common sense would want to build anything on that kind of land without proper cleanup, which the Navy says will take between 10 and 17 years to do it right.
And billions and billions
and
of
billions
dollars.
And billions of dollars.
Right. Well, when we first came here to San Francisco, and I want to make sure I give people time to so you can tell them how to get a hold of you. But you told me your theory of why Nancy Pelosi took impeachment off the table.
Well, I believe that they cut the deal at that time with the Bush administration in order to get their cooperation, that their EPA and their other regulatory entities would look the other way, and that the pressure would be kept on the Navy to fast-track the project so that the turnover of the parcels would be given in a more expedited kind of way. So in this unholy alliance where Senator Feinstein, if you remember, paved the way For the attorney general at that time, who believed waterboarding was not torture. Yet it was the good senator from California that paved the way for him to become attorney general. Mm-hmm. See, at the end of the day, this is a dark secret that nobody wants to get to the light of day, because you begin to uncover this dirty alliance, then you'll begin to see people's hands in that cookie jar out there, and it's not good. So when you have an EPA who literally looked the other way, even though it's a federal Superfund site,
right,
and the EPA has authority over that site, at no point had the Environmental Protection Agency stepped in. You've got Senator Boxer, who's over the Environmental Subcommittee, mm-hmm, or the Senate Committee,
right,
yet no words. But recently, I'm happy to say, Senator Boxer and her office has stepped up, and she sent her state representative, and we took her staff on a toxic tour of the shipyard. Mm-hmm. And so now you're beginning to see, with the Obama administration coming in, hopefully people will begin, in this era of so-called transparency, beginning to do the right thing according to the rules and regulations. Lastly, when you said earlier, Cindy, that this is bigger than Bayview Hunters Point, we've now made this a regional issue.
I was going to ask you about the toxic triangle.
What we found out is that not only is this happening in Bayview Hunters Point, but it's also happening in Richmond, California, with the Chevron refinery.
Right.
It's also happening in West Oakland,
right,
with these brownfields and Superfund sites right next to playgrounds in West Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know historically poor communities have always been the dumping grounds for these kinds of chemical this irresponsibility of businesses that have always dumped chemicals in the poorest community.
Well, not just in the United States, but it
all over the world.
South America. We
That's
dump
right.
not just our waste, but our products that don't meet standards here.
That's
they
correct.
Get dumped down in
That's
in South America in poor communities. Well, I can't believe that our time is almost up. And what can we do to be involved and to help you in these issues of the regional toxic triangle? And how can people get a hold of you?
Well, we're calling for state hearings. Every Thursday we meet at Grace Tabernacle Community Church, which is right in what we call Ground Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Katrina and Malik Rahim and that
right.
group called Common Ground, they're right there in the Ninth Ward. And thanks to the good work, and I have to give a shout out to Brad Pitt, who mm-hmm. has stepped up and built some nice homes. He's the only one has stepped up and did anything for those poor people down there.
Mm-hmm.
But notwithstanding the effort that we're doing here, we're connecting now these dots with this toxic triangle, and
mm-hmm.
we're calling for state hearings
mm-hmm.
with the Barbara Lee, Assemblymember Swanson, Lonnie Hancock, all of those representatives who represent these communities in Berkeley, East Bay, San Francisco. You step forward now. So we're calling on all people of goodwill, those that are in the environmental movement, those that are in the anti-war movement, those that are in the anti-death penalty movement.
Right.
We all agree on something. We may disagree on all these other issues, but we all agree on the issue of justice and fairness.
Right.
So the way I learn, you bring fractions to a whole number as you find the lowest common denominator.
Exactly.
And so that to me is how we can begin to work together. And if they come to Grace Tabernacle Church at 1121 Oakdale Avenue in Bayview, we meet every Thursday at 7 o'clock at that church. All of us come together to talk about how, and you've been to those town hall
mm-hmm.
meetings, they're still going on and the community is still inspired.
Since the campaign's over and the holiday's over, you know, Team Cindy is going to get back in to that too. And one thing that we'd like to work with you, because we are out of time, is doing not only environmental justice and that kind of justice, but, you know, we're really afraid that with Obama wanting to increase the military by 92,000, sending more troops to Afghanistan, understand that those soldiers are going to come from communities like Bayview, that's Hunters right. Point. So we really want to do some truth in recruitment and counter recruitment with you all there too. So Minister Muhammad, very good friend of ours, very good supporter, and we support your efforts there. Thank you for being here, and we'll have you on again.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. This is Cindy Sheehan on Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. We're going to take a short break, and I'll be back with my soapbox rant.
Are you as disgusted with the multinational corporations that rape and pillage for profit all over the planet as Cindy's soapbox is? Are you as concerned with being a responsible planetary citizen as we are? Do you long for the fresh breeze of unvarnished truth instead of the stagnant putridness of lies and pragmatism that we hear on the air? Do you ever wonder what to do with the extra $4 a month that you have burning a hole in your pocket? If you answered yes to one or more of these questions, then please go to CindySheehanSoapbox.com and pledge just $4 a month to keep our show on the air. $4, you may say to yourself. Yes, $4. Why, that's less than the cost of 2 gallons of gas or a transbay ride on BART. For $4 a month, you can own a piece of the soapbox and get listed on our website as a monthly sustainer and help us stay on the air to keep speaking truth to power.
Today's Are You Effing Kidding Me? Goes way beyond belief. Last week, a 93-year-old Marvin E. Schur of Bay City, Michigan, froze to death in his own home because he owed over $1,000 in utility bills to Bay City Light and Power. Bay City Light and Power put a limit on his electricity, and when he was found, the temperature in his home was less than 32 degrees. What kind of country do we live in where our elderly are treated with such careless disregard? High prices for everything are definitely detrimental to those on low fixed incomes. While our newly confirmed Secretary of the Treasury, Timothy Geithner, has such a high income that he can make a $45,000 mistake on his taxes. Old people are losing their lives and families are losing their homes. In this so-called wealthy first world nation, 13 million children are food insecure and go to bed with hunger pangs stabbing at their bellies every night. 50 million people here in the U.S. are uninsured or underinsured for health care. Are you effing kidding me? How do things like this happen in America? Almost 75,000 people lost their jobs on one day last week, and the government is still talking about trickle-down solutions. If we want to feed our children and prevent our elderly from freezing to death over a harsh winter, we need to take emergency steps. There must be a complete moratorium on utility shutoffs and evictions and foreclosures. Food stamp and unemployment benefits must be expanded and increased, and Bush's tax cuts on the wealthy must be repealed, and tax cuts for the rest of us must be instituted. This is part of a gurgle-up economic solution. You will notice that the robber class will talk about the middle class when they talk about helping average Americans. There is very little middle class left here in America. We are poor, we are working poor, and we are working class. Today we are distracted with many shiny keys of flashy clothing and fabulously opulent parties. There is no such thing in the robber class as a Democrat or Republican. There is one divide in this country, the robber class and the robbed class. We, the members of the robbed class, need to stop allowing the fruits of our labor to go to buy flashy clothes and fund the opulent parties of the robber class. Our Ask Cindy question of the day comes from a man named Bruce. I don't know Bruce's last name or where he lives, but his email said, please discontinue sending emails to me. Hopefully we can all move on. We did remove Bruce from our list, but I have been contemplating on how we as a nation and individually are supposed to let bygones be bygones and move on from the horrible travesty of the Bush administration. I must admit that I'm a little jealous of people who have blind faith in Obama, which seems to me so hypocritical after accusing the Republicans of the same thing for 8 years. But Bruce's comment makes it seem like the only thing George Bush did in the last 8 years was to receive a you-know-what in the Oval Office from a strategically placed intern. I would like to feel that giddy euphoria of the H word, but what I don't know after almost 5 years of unrelenting pain is how I am supposed to move on from the needless and senseless death of a child. So now Bush is gone, and all the people he killed will rise from the dead in some glorious resurrection, all eager to meet the new boss in D.C. and return to their families in joyful reunions. All the rubble from the Twin Towers to the streets of Iraq and Afghanistan will magically restore itself, and people here in America can move back into their homes, and the jobs will fly back from India and Indonesia as if on wings of angels. All of our troops who have been wounded and their health and well-being compromised for life will be healed with the waters of change you can believe in. Personally, I wish I had the luxury that Bruce has of moving on. I have learned how to be alive in my new reality and have much to be thankful for, especially my 8-month-old grandson, Jonah. But I have had to do the very hard work of reconstructing my new reality, as does an amputee have to learn how to exist with one of his or her limbs missing. Moving on is not an option for the mothers of the U.S. and the Middle East that have been so devastated by the self-righteous and destructive Bush regime. In my opinion, there is no moving on without accountability. How many of you breathed a sigh of relief and cheered when Nixon left D.C.? Even the bare controls of FISA and the War Powers Act that limited executive power after Nixon's reign of terror have been overturned and bastardized by Bush and Pelosi's Congress. We moved on from Nixon, and look where we are today. As a member of humanity, regardless of my personal loss, I can't get behind moving on. It's bad for our country, and what's bad for our country is bad for the world. Your soapbox action this week is to go to our website at cindysheehansoapbox.com to read the article, The Corporation That Ate San Francisco, from the San Francisco Bay Guardian. Well, we're out of time for this week. I hope you're enjoying listening to the show as much as we are making it. And I'd like you to tune in next week as our guest will be Anne Wright, Colonel Anne Wright, talking about the U.S. imperial shift from Iraq to Afghanistan, and economist Paul Craig Roberts, who will talk about real viable solutions for the crisis our economy is facing. I'd like to thank my guest for today, Minister Christopher Mohammed, my producers Tiffany Burns, Dee Dee Miller, and our engineer Scott Cuddy. I hope you come back next week, Sunday from 2 to 3, where our guest will be Colonel Anne Wright, who's going to be talking about the U.S. imperial shift from Iraq to Afghanistan, and economist Paul Craig Roberts, who will be talking about real viable solutions to the economy. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan, always speaking truth to power. Peace out.
Hi, this is Scott Cuddy, owner of Digital Media Production. You know, after 30 years or so in the media business, I've learned to keep up on the latest programming as well as the latest equipment and trends in the business. And nowadays, business and show hosts alike are choosing the internet and podcasting as an effective means of getting their message out to a mass audience. Here at Digital Media Production Company, I'm prepared to help your company or you and your personal enterprise jump through all those technical as well as marketing hoops in order to realize your goals. Whether you want to produce an audio or video podcast spotlighting your business, big or small, or become the host of your own radio show, I can help you get there without breaking your budget. So give me a call today at 805-403-4265. I'll share some of my successes with you and let you know how you can be successful. Or email me at dmpc63@msn.com. Located in San Francisco and available worldwide on ISDN. That's Digital Media Production Company, 805-403-4265. Or send me an email today at dmpc63@msn.com.
This week's Soapbox was sponsored by a generous contribution from Bay Area listeners and supporters, Michael and Jan.